This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We have so much we have to get to about moving. Should you do it? Red state, blue state, purple state. What do we call soda, pop, soft drinks? We have GOP questions. Some guy lost his dog. We have to talk to him here in a minute. All that and so much more still to come. We still have an hour. You can still email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do this one first. I love giving you guys information I'm not supposed to give you. I don't know why. I just, probably my rebellious nature, but I love that. Happy 248th birthday, Leatherneck. Yes, and again, happy birthday to all my fellow Marines. He said, I need some inside baseball information on the talk show business. I wanted to ask the man with all the information, but all I have is your email. That's not very nice. Why do radio shows start about 6 minutes after the hour while TV shows start on the hour? The chief says you're doing a good job, son. Keep it up. Says I can use his name. His name is Patrick. Semper Fi, chief. All right. Why do radio shows start 6 minutes after the hour? Okay. Well, let's talk about this. There are two different kinds of shows. This really applies. Let's just talk about radio. Let's stick with radio for a minute. Or podcast. I'll include podcasts because podcasting is more than half our listenership, I bet. It's just huge anymore and getting bigger as things get more in demand. Remember, just like your business, just like your job, this is not a charity. It's a for-profit business. A for-profit business. So there are two different ways you can do it. You can do a paid subscriber model. You see that all over the place. I'm not insulting that, but that's not a route I want to go. I, especially in a crappy economy and where I think we're going economically, I don't want to have to sit and ask you to pay for the show. Yeah, you know, I'm not against people who do that, really. I'm really not. I'm not insulting it. I don't want to do that. So there's a paid subscriber model, or there's an advertiser model. Either the subscribers are paying for the show, or advertisers are paying for the show. Advertisers is what you're listening to now, or what you heard for the first couple minutes leading up to this, and other things too. I realize they like to throw in things like news and other things like that. But you're listening to advertisers. This show is not supported because of my wonderful looks, even though they are pretty incredible. What, Chris? The show is supported by advertisers. This is part of why we take such... We go to a lot of lengths on this show to select advertisers we believe in. We bend over backwards. I told you just the other day, last week, I rejected one of the largest beer companies in the country. You would know them if I gave their name. I'm not going to give their name out of respect for everybody involved, including sales. They came, they wanted to do a big ad buy. They're a big ESG DEI company. Absolutely not. That a big part of that is because I want you to patronize our advertisers. They are anti-communist partners in the show. It's also the reason the show stays on the air. No, I'm not doing an ad or anything right now. It's the reason the show stays on the air. But my conscience wouldn't do well if I was pushing you towards a garbage company or a company pushing a product I didn't use or believe in. It would eat at me. I wouldn't be able to do it. That's why you hear the ads. And did you know, I'll give you, here's another little inside baseball thing. I shouldn't even tell you this, but you know how I tell you to email the show? Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. You know how I tell you to email Jesse at jessekellyshow.com? Well, all those emails go right to Chris, Jewish producer Chris. And he gives me most of them. Do you know there's one email? Maybe there's more than one, but there's one he knows absolutely he's never to give me. I will never see it. You can send it, but I will never see it. Complaining about advertising. I don't like this commercial or too many commercials. I don't care. That's the reason the show's on the air. Period. End of story. Like it, don't like it. The show is only here because our partners stay here, and they stay here through all these. Can you have any idea how many complaints our advertisers get because of how I talk from communists and other people? All the time. It's all the time, and yet they all stay on because they believe, and they're in it too. I was just actually texting with Seton from Chalk last night. You know how I love Chalk. I was texting with him last night, and he was talking about, we were actually talking about Chad Mode. He's very proud of Chad Mode because it took him 2 years to develop it. You know, Seton doesn't just come up with a product and rush it to market. This dude is so obsessed with health and these natural herbal supplements and stuff like that. And he just knows everything about this stuff. So he just obsessively tests everything and does all this stuff. And he was excited to finally bring it to market. Anyway, we were talking last night and about how well everything was going with the show, with him and stuff like that. And I told him, I told him, your success is my success and vice versa. Our advertisers, they're partners to the show. Seton is so anti-communist, they kicked him off of Instagram. They kicked him off of Instagram because he was so against all the COVID lockdown crap. And Seton called us and said, well, this dude's awesome. Let's advertise there. That's Chalk, man. And look, that's why when I talk to you about Chalk, I'm passionate about it. And plus, I take it every day and not just how I feel. I take the male vitality stack. Maybe you take some. Maybe you take armor. Maybe you just take chocolate powder. Maybe you've tried Chad Mode, whatever, but try it. You'll love it. And I want you to do me a favor. Stop taking it if you don't see a difference. I don't want you to take something that's not working for you. The testimonials I get from you are incredible. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. Save yourself some money. All right? There you go. Hey, Jesse, I grew up calling soft drinks by their proper name of pop. My dime calls them soda. After being married for over half a decade, I find myself now calling soft drinks soda, and my children call them soda. I'm afraid that she converted me, and the next step is communism. A wise man once said, language leads to mindset, and mindset leads to performance. What is the proper term for soft drinks? His name is Nathan. He said, I can say it. Well, first of all, Nathan, this is what women do to us. And look, it's just like Eve in the garden. Did Adam go up to that tree? Was it Adam? No, it was Eve. And God made them so hot that they talk us into doing things we don't want to do. Adam didn't want that fruit. But Eve, she probably batted her eyes at him and she's like, Adam, just a little taste. And now, boom, we're all sinners. You, same thing with your dime. I know what happened. I know she probably got all dolled up for a Friday night wearing heels, not flats, because women should never wear those. Probably some red lipstick on. Started working on you. Call it soda. And now you succumbed. And you should know, it happens to all men. Greater men than you have caved like that. It's the way it is. Jesse, you keep asking people to move from red states or to move to red states and circle the wagons. I get that, but I'm a math guy. So it seems to me that moving to purple states would make more sense. What am I missing? Okay. Let me explain. One, people are not going to move in general. You'll get specifics who will, but people will not move unless it's in their own self-interest. And it's part of the reason why I'm so emphatic about you moving to a red state or a red area, because I know once you get there, your life will be better. And you will email me and tell me how much better it is. I know, because I have more emails than I can count of people who've done it. Jesse, thank you. Jesse, best decision we've ever made. Jesse, this is the best. It's in your self-interest to move to a red state. And people, even political people, even anti-communists like you, they want to move to a red place where they know they're safe. That's one part of it. Another part of it is this. The quote, red places. They're not near red enough. They're not near anti-communist enough. I'm in the quote, red state of Texas. These Texas Republicans are pathetic. I'm talking about our elected Republicans. In our state legislature, they're pathetic. During COVID, and people talk about the freedom state, and don't get me wrong, it was a lot better here than, you know, California. Our, quote, Republican governor issued order after order after order telling you whether or not you were allowed to open up your restaurant or your bar. I'm old enough to remember a SWAT team being sent to a bar in Midland, Texas because they were serving some beers during COVID. That's not New York City. That's Midland, Texas. The states you consider to be red, the states I consider to be red, are not near red enough. Oh, they have a bunch of Republicans, more Republicans than Democrats. They don't have near enough anti-communists like you. It's why I encourage people not to just move to a red state, move to a red state and become an activist in your local community. An activist in your local community. A good point, Chris. Chris said Michigan Republicans just voted to allow a Chi-Com to open a business in their town. Just voted for it. These red states, even though Michigan's not a red state, red areas need help. They're not safe. It's not some safe haven for you. You need to go there and start building up the walls. That place needs fortified, but it can be fortified. That's why I say that. All right? All right. We have so much more. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. I'm going to read this one. I'm going to read it because it's the saddest thing I've ever had emailed to me. Well, one of them. And somebody needs prayer, and I might need your help with something. I don't like asking you for help, but I might need your help with something. Let me just read this and I'll talk to you. Dear tall man, I have a question. I finally saved enough for a car down payment and enough to make a first payment on my new service dog, a beautiful golden doodle, 9 weeks old and trained to respond to my epileptic seizures beforehand. I picked up my car Friday a week ago. I drove up to get my dog the next morning. On the way home, I had an epileptic seizure while driving. I totaled the new car, and I killed my dog. I have various personal injuries, and I just got out of the hospital. Now, I can't quit crying. I can't sleep or eat. And my question is, how does a person get over this? Because it seems impossible. I killed my dog. Said, use my name or not, I don't care. I'm going to leave his last name or what out of this. His name is Drew. Okay. One, Drew. Drew needs your prayers. Now. Two, there's nothing I can say that's going to ease even a tiny amount of that kind of hurt. There's not. There's not. I could sit here and tell you that it will slowly but surely get better over time, and that a while from now, however long that may be, you will look back on it and it'll always be a horrible memory, but the crying will stop and the pain will stop. And I say this because I've gone through things like this in my own life. You already know it's not your fault. Let's discover that. It's not your fault. But I guess my question is more for everybody else right now as we say a prayer for Drew. Does anyone know of a charity or some way to get Drew another service dog? Chris and I were looking it up before the show. I had no idea what was even involved. I had no idea these things cost like 20, 30, 40, 50 grand. I had no idea that was a thing. I wasn't up on the service dog industry. And look, this is probably, I don't even know that these things exist, but if you happen to know anything about that, would you mind emailing us, maybe even put service dog in the subject line? And I don't know, maybe there's something we can do. I don't know, but that's a hurting young man right now. Yeah, that needs prayer in the most. So let's say a prayer for Drew. All right, enough. Jesse, you are right. The GOP does not vote. And you are right. The Dems will crawl over broken glass to keep slicing up babies. So here's my question. What if the Republican Party strove to put one item on every ballot that would motivate the GOP to get out of their comfy chairs and vote? What issue would motivate them? It's kind of fun to think about. She said taxing NFL football on TV, eliminating the deductions for charitable giving. What? I love asking you questions. Okay. One, I actually love the spirit of this email because this is something that I've talked about forever. We can't just be the party of no, and we can't be the party of stopping them from destroying things. We must be builders. We must be anti-communist. We must play offense. When is the last time you remember the GOP playing genuine offense on anything? A single issue? They can't do it. They're always mealy-mouthed about every single issue. Always navel-gazing. Always unsure of themselves. Well, I mean, I guess we can kind of meet you. We got to meet you halfway there. We got to compromise, guys. After all, this, what do they love to say? This isn't the hill to die on, the GOP motto. This isn't the hill to die on. There is word out now that Democrats are planning a huge abortion prop push for next year, meaning they're going to find a way to have abortion on as many ballots as humanly possible for next year. That's to motivate their demonic base because they know these manatees will show up and vote.
Abortion is healthcare. And abortion access is the law of the land in Ohio.
I agree with this email. The GOP needs to motivate us. I'm not sure they know how is the problem. I'm not sure they know how to do that. We know how to get angry at the other side, but if you actually demand real change from the GOP, I'm talking change that'll kind of take people back. Elect me and I will deport 10 million illegals in the first year. Now that's a platform, isn't it? That's a sit up in your chair platform. Look, you give somebody something to focus on like that, they'll set aside things they disagree with you on. Oh my gosh, I got to get to the polls. Let's get some illegals out of here. You don't ever get that from the GOP. Any of them. None. When's the last GOP? Who's the last GOP president who expanded your gun freedom? Anyone? Anybody? You can't name one because he doesn't exist. They all restrict it just like the Democrats do. The GOP doesn't even know how to motivate people. All right. Let's talk real quickly about dogs. Obviously, the pain of losing one is not something that's fun. Every dog person has gone through it. I've gone through it more times than I can possibly count. Every single dog person has gone through it. We want to push that day off with our dogs as long as humanly possible, right? You do, I do. I don't give Fred rough greens every meal just because it was created by a naturopathic doctor, Dennis Black, although I love him. I don't give Fred rough greens, even honestly, for the fact that it fixed his digestive system. I like that it did. He doesn't have these digestive problems anymore, but that's not why I give it to him. I give Fred rough greens because I don't want him to die at 10 years old. I want years longer with my dog, and if I never give him nutrition, I won't have those years. Rough greens is years with my dog that I would not have otherwise. That's what it is for me. call them. They're giving out free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We still have many to get to, and not enough time left, so let's keep on moving through them. I know about the Eric Adams cell phone seizure by the FBI. Look, my thoughts on it are exactly what they were the other day when his longtime partner in crime got busted by the FBI. You know who gets busted by the FBI and who doesn't? Enemies of the system get their door kicked in. Friends of the system do not. Eric Adams spoke out loudly and often about Joe Biden and the border and illegal immigration. He embarrassed the system. The system responded in kind. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
You've said publicly that migrants are destroying or have destroyed the city. Can you elaborate? How has that happened?
Honestly, migrants have destroyed the city. You know, that is not what we're saying.
Migrants, but this issue of the migrant flow to New York.
I've been very clear on this from day one when this first started to happen. The fiscal dollars that's coming with this issue of migrants is destabilizing our city. Our migrants and asylum seekers are not the issue. We need to be clear on that. It is what is costing the city, and we're not being compensated by the national government. This is predicted to cost us 4.
Why does the system exist? You listen to the show. What's the purpose of the system? Its only purpose is to protect itself. That's what it does at any cost. All the institutions have now locked arms. They all work together. They work together to loot this country dry and burn it down. And they only work together for the protection working together brings them. The system doesn't allow challenges to it. Look what they're doing to Trump right now. They're going to do the same thing to Eric Adams. And by the way, as I tried to warn Democrats who hate listening to the show, you're coming with me. You know that, right? To the gulags? You're coming with me. Well, I mean, you can, I guess, just keep towing the party line and then you'll be fine. But if you don't, if you see anything you dislike and you speak up, you'll be in the bunk next to me in the gulag. You think that your demon ideology is going to save you, but in the end, what's that saying? The best thing about communism is all the communists, communism is killed. You're going to get it too. Just a heads up. Dr. Jesse, I have an urgent question for you. Clay and Buck endorsed you as the future Donald Trump presidential press secretary. Buck said you're too tall and would hit your head every time you walk into the room. Clay said that you would be the funniest press secretary and put everybody in their place. Would you accept the position? No. I don't want to be president. I definitely don't want to be press secretary. I will be. I've said that. That's why I say no when people ask me to run for office. I'm not kidding. I will accept a position as a temporary dictator for a period of 5 years with a 500-man security detail of my choosing. At the end of that time, I will give back all of my power. I will retire. If the people so desire, I will leave the United States of America. In fact, if the people so desire, I will allow myself to be in prison. You can send me to the gas chamber or whatever. That's fine. I want to be a dictator for 5 years. I do not believe this country can be fixed by anything less than that. Period. End of story. Jesse, Oracle, you are so sure that President Trump is going to prison. Okay, if you're right, what will we, Trump followers and believers, then, what will we do about it, especially if there is an election and he's elected in absentia? I expect that the Supreme Court should intervene, but they are corrupted also. Maybe you won't read this on the air. Keep well, anti-communists. I wish we had 25 more like you. What will Trump followers do when... Okay, so once the system has ensured that Donald Trump is a convicted felon several times over by Election Day, and he will, remember, anyone saying anything other than that to you, they're disrespecting you. They're treating you like you're an idiot. Donald Trump will be a convicted felon many times over by Election Day. Whether he's actually being held in a prison or not, he will be a convicted felon on Election Day. Are they going to keep him off the ballot? I don't know. Well, obviously, they're trying in several states. I don't know whether they'll succeed in that, but they're going to taint him by making him a felon. And you know how close these presidential elections always are. The last one was 50,000 votes. Now the nominee is going to be a felon if the nominee turns out to be Trump. What will we Trump followers do? Well, you're going to vote for him anyway. Look, if he's the nominee, I'm voting for him. I'm voting for him anyway, but I'm not worried about you or me. Norm won't. It's the bottom line. Norm doesn't know anything. He doesn't know how unjust it always is. He knows squat. What to do about that? Well, I don't know what to tell you. There's nothing to do about that. This is why I get frustrated. People, so what do we do? What do we do? During the Moscow show trials, there was nothing you could do for them. Nothing. You can't stand out in front of the courthouse and just cheer louder. You can't put yourself on a jury in Washington, D.C. or Atlanta or New York. There's nothing you can do when an evil justice system decides they're after you. There's nothing to do. And no, people say, will the Supreme Court step in? Don't listen to that. Again, people who are telling you that are disrespecting you. If the Supreme Court happens to take up any Donald Trump case, the way the courts work is they're not going to take up all of it. That's part of the reason he's being charged in so many different districts with, I think he's facing something stupid, like 700 years in prison and all these different felonies. Even if they toss out this and that and toss out, and even if you bank on our useless Supreme Court to do that, still going to be a convicted felon. I don't know what to tell you as far as that goes. I'm not going to belabor it. I keep bringing it up because people keep asking. The Supreme Court is not coming to save you. They're not. It's the way it works in the Moscow show trials. Jesse, why hasn't Israel assassinated the Hamas leaders in Qatar? And you should know that I pronounce Qatar, Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R. I know that that's incorrect, but that's how I started off pronouncing it. And it looks like Qatar to me. What, Chris? And I don't like Qatar. It doesn't sound like a good name for a country. So I pronounce Qatar Qatar from now. And I've always done that. And I always will continue to do that. Why hasn't Israel assassinated them? Well, let's be clear. I'm sure they're working on it. All right. The Israelis have got assassination down to a T. There's a really cool book you could read. Full disclosure, it was too long for me. and it had too much detail for me, so much so that I ended up stopping about halfway through the book. What, Chris? You don't even know what book I'm going to read. Oh, you do? Oh, Chris probably read it all. The book is called Rise and Kill First. Rise and Kill First. It's a book about Israeli intelligence and about the way they handle a lot of their business from their found, from their new founding of the State of Israel on. And they just have, look, they have a very forward way. Chris said the audiobook is 25 hours long. My gosh, yeah, it was a long book. And I'll be honest, it got too much for me. Not too much gore. I don't care about any of that. It was just got too detailed. In the end, I got it. But it's a fascinating look on how Israel handles their foreign policy. I'm sure they're working on killing those leaders in Qatar. But once you have the protection of a government in place, look, the movies make it seem like Tom Cruise can halo jump into anywhere and kill somebody. Even the Israelis have limits on what they can get to, all right? Oh, gosh. Chris just said that book is 784 pages long. Yeah, it got too much and too long for me. Well-researched, fascinating book. I do recommend it. It's not like one of the Hampton Sides books I recommend or something like that. It's a lot. It's a lot to handle all at once. Now, let's talk about something. Talk about saving a life before we get to our final segment and all these things. Preborn is a way we get to save lives and fight back in the abortion debate in a meaningful way. A meaningful way. There are a bunch of different things we do in this fight that probably aren't making a real difference. You never have to worry about that with preborn. With preborn, you're making a difference. You're $28. Well, there's a scared young woman right now. She's going to go have an abortion. She's looking for one right now. Preborn's going to try to find her first and give her that free ultrasound so she can choose life. That's all they do. Love, care, free ultrasound. And they'll care for her after as well. Whatever she needs. You're buying a life with your $28. Preborn.com/Jesse. All right? Preborn.com/Jesse. One more segment. Hang on.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, and then it's weekend time, baby. You can email me your love, hate, death threats. All are welcome to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. All right. We only have, look, I'm going to churn through as many of these as I can get. There's a lot, but I feel confident that I'm going to get through a lot of them. Before we get to the emails, let's do this real quick. We talk about our veterans, and today's the Marine Corps birthday, and tomorrow's Veterans Day, and we want to say thanks, right? And people say thanks, and I want to thank them, and you want to thank them. One of the best things you can do for veterans is to care for the ones they leave behind. It's one of the things that's on your mind when you're in combat. What about my wife? What about my kids? What about, if we care for the ones we leave behind, that's a good way to honor them. Tunnel to Towers, they've been doing it since 9/11. Gold Star families, getting that horrible knock at the door. Dad's never coming home again. What do? Tunnel to Towers, they step in. They're building them an entire community in Lando Lakes, Florida, where they can come together and heal. It's for catastrophically injured veterans, for Gold Star families, fallen first responder families. That's where your $11 a month goes. And I want to encourage you to look up this organization before you give. Go look them up on the charity rating sites. They have a perfect rating. Why? Because when you give $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers, that's where it goes. T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. All right? All right. Let's see how many I can get to.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Hola, Jesse, a.k.a. world-class author. I listen to your show almost every night while my husband is asleep. I've been wondering for a while if you were the next Franco. What say you? No, I'm not the next Franco. No, I get that question a lot. I don't know what's wrong with you. No, I'm not the next Franco. I mean, I can be if you want. She also says, P.S. Thank you for Medal of Honor Monday. I've never made it through an episode dry-eyed. My dad, the coolest guy I know, was a Cobra pilot in the Army. I wish more people honored our soldiers the way you do. If you read this on the air, please feed the bar. It's from Sherry. That is for your dad, Sherry. Cobra pilots, man. Oh, my gosh. I'm reading a book right now. What is it called? Whispers in the Tall Grass. The book is Whispers in the Tall Grass. It's a Vietnam book. But you read any Vietnam book from the guys who were over there, you see what those Cobra pilots did for people, the lives they saved and the lives they lost. I just got done reading one of his various stories on a Cobra pilot guy. Remember, it's easy to think about those pilots as out up in the air and kind of protected and things like that. No, those guys died all the time. You're sitting there providing cover from the guys on the ground. You're taking shots. Those things aren't bulletproof. They wouldn't be able to fly if they had enough armor on them to be bulletproof. Those guys died all the time. Those are really, really, really brave men. The Green Berets, who's writing the book, talks repeatedly about his admiration for them, about how they looked up at those guys and thought, dang, those guys had some stones. Jesse, after waking up to see nearly 1 million Republicans stay home and not voting Tuesday in Kentucky, I find out our Marxist Pope is now allowing transgenders and gay couples to take part in baptisms and being godparents. You and I both know this opens the door, so on and so forth. Not going to lie to you, though, Jesse, after constantly being let down by Republicans, to have my own faith in church turn Marxist hurt bad. Hard to keep pushing forward, but I will. I have 3 kids to try and make things better for. Carry on no matter what. Says I can say his name. His name is Sean, and the subject is Catholic failure. Well, Sean, I'm not a Catholic, so I'm not going to speak about the Pope. But you remember the story I told you a long time ago about when I left my church after St. George Floyd died? Church, we loved that place. Loved it. And after George Floyd died, pastor puts out an email that week that he's attending, I kid you not, a What White People Need to Know conference. So obviously I saw where this was going. I sent him a message saying, hey, I'd love a chance to sit down with you and talk to you about what this is. Basically gave me the pastor version of a middle finger. And then he got up and gave a sermon on white privilege that Sunday. I got up, I walked out, have never been back and will never be back to that church. If every other church on the planet burned down, I would just stop going. I will never go back, ever. That man doesn't get to lead me and my family, period. I didn't walk away from the faith. Because a man let me down doesn't mean God let me down. Now, I understand Catholics have a different relationship with the church and the Pope, and I'm not going to speak to that because, honestly, I can't speak to that. I'm not one. But just because you're unhappy with your Pope doesn't mean all is lost. Whatever. Popes have been great, and Popes have been hot, steaming garbage and everything in between. Jesse, Mr. Know-It-All, you talked about Ukraine coming and begging for more money. Can you please tell us what happened to the money and weapons we already gave them? How much and where it went to? His name is Steve. Okay, first of all, we have little tidbits of truth that have leaked out. One, weapons that we sent to Ukraine have ended up in Venezuela. Remember, Venezuela is a hotbed for Iranian influence right now. We know that. That's not a guess. We know that. We know that CBS accidentally stumbled into some journalism for 15 minutes. They went over there and dug into it, and they found out that approximately 30% of the weapons we've sent over there actually made it to the poor troops on the ground. We also know, I forget the guy's name, it was some the Ukrainian name, Vatlachlek or something like that. It was pretty close. We know there's such a thing. It's the defense minister who had to resign, that the troops on the front line called the stuff he delivered to them his eggs, meaning he'd already sold off tons of it and sold what he brought to them at overinflated prices to get to them. That stuff's all scattered all over the planet to the highest bidder. It just is. That's the way it goes. But remember this. And the Ukrainian people are wonderful people, but the Ukrainian government, before Russia invaded, it was the black market weapons hub of the globe. Did you realize that? Before Putin crossed the border or anything like that. Ukraine, you're in the market for 1,000 RPGs? You buy a plane ticket to Ukraine, you'll find yourself with some RPGs. You need this, you need that. So we took the world's black market weapons market and sold them all of our, or just gave them our weapons arsenal. That went well. All right, forget it. Put your phone down because it's weekend time. Go spend it with your family and your community, and we will be back to do this again on Monday. Medal of Honor Monday, don't forget. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.